right. Before I start with the joke, can I just tell you very briefly that a number of years ago, I went to what I consider to be one of the most perfect church services that I have ever been to. And it wasn't really a church service. It was an Aretha Franklin concert. And I have to tell you, it was at Radio City Music Hall. And it was a Saturday night. Is my mic on? Can you hear me? Okay. And we get there, and of course, she's got the band behind her, and she's on stage, and she was incredible. Halfway through the concert, this is the honest to gosh truth, she yanks off her ponytail, she kicks off her shoes, and that's when she said, now we're going to church, and she sat down at the piano, and it was a holy experience. So I just want to acknowledge Miss Aretha Franklin today. So, amazing. Somebody amazing. Now for the jokes. Okay, I brought two because I'm not sure if either of them are any good. Okay, so three elderly ladies named Margaret, Gertrude, and Barbara, all right? Margaret, Gertrude, and Barbara are sitting around the table playing bridge, and they're bragging about their grown sons. My Freddy, said Margaret, well, everyone should be so lucky to have a son like my Freddy. Once a week, he brings me a huge bouquet of flowers. He's constantly bringing me out to restaurants to eat at. If I so much as hint that I want something the next morning, it's on my doorstep. That's my Freddy. Gertrude says, well, that's nice, but let me tell you, with all due respect, about the way that my Sammy takes care of me. It just can't compare. Every morning, Sammy, as soon as I wake up, he greets me with bacon and fresh brewed coffee. Every lunch, he comes over and he cooks me a gourmet lunch. And every supper, he brings me to his house and he treats me like a queen. Barbara says, well, I don't want to make either of you feel bad or anything, but wait till you hear about my Harry. My Harry is so successful. He pays somebody $200 an hour twice a week just so he can lay on their couch and talk. And do you want to know what my Harry talks about? The only thing my Harry talks about is me. So that funny. Okay. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi wanted to see who does the best job. So each one goes into the woods, finds a bear, and attempts to convert it. Later, they all get together to compare their notes. The priest begins, well, I found a bear, and I read to him from the catechism, sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first communion. The minister said, well, I found a bear by the stream, and I preached God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized but that he let me baptize him. They both looked down at the rabbi, who was lying on a gurney in a body cast. The rabbi said, looking back, maybe I shouldn't have started with circumcision. Okay, so, there's my thing, great. So, today I'm gonna talk about something, but let me just say, I used to have this plaque in my office, and it said this. It said, turn to God as a first response, not as a last resort. And there is a tendency in us to wait to kind of get all spiritual when things start going bad. When things are good, we're like, I got this life. But then when things start turning, we're like, ooh, I need some spiritual time. I need to get in it. And so this talk is really, in a sense, sort of a sequel to my talk that I did last week, which was on life hacks. And life hacks, hacks meaning shortcuts or practices that we can do that will actually make our life better. And spiritual life hacks are the same way. Spiritual things that you can do, practices you can do that make your life better. And I have to say I got more response to that than I've gotten from a talk in a long time, emails and people coming up to me. And the two things they liked the most were hearing the voice of Jim Nabors played the character? Gomer Pyle going, cancel, cancel, every time you're around negative people in your head. You don't say it out loud to them. You could. But the other one was the idea of saying over and over again, there are no emergencies. There are no emergencies. And somebody was telling me that they liked that so much that the next day they were going to work and it was going to be a very stressful day for a lot of reasons. And so what she did is she wrote, there are no emergencies on Post-it notes. and put it all over the office so that everywhere she turned, as she would start to feel herself getting nervous or scared, she could remember, wait, there are no emergencies. So that was fun, but today I'm going to give you one more. This is the ultimate life hack. This is the ultimate thing, I think, in spiritual practice that we can do. In the end, it's really the highest thing we can do. And this particular life hack, I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to give you three ways of using it very briefly. And I'll tell you that this is a hack that has been, they don't call it a hack in different spiritual practices, but this is a practice that you can find in various forms in pretty much every religion or spiritual practice that there is. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later, but for our purposes, for the new thought metaphysical world, this practice, this life hack, spiritual life hack, was popularized by one of the great, great, great pillars of new thought, a man named Emmett Smith. And he called it the Golden Key. And the Golden Key is very famous. This booklet, which we also carry in our bookstore, or Emmett Fox, what did I say?
Smith.
Emmett Smith. Well, okay. I need a memory life hack is what I need. Emmett Fox. We sell this in the bookstore. This pamphlet, by the way, has sold millions and millions of copies. It's very famous, and I'll tell you why. It's because it works so well. And what the Golden Key says basically is this. He begins in the Golden Key by telling you kind of the macro idea. He says, God is omnipotent, period. God is omnipotent. We are God's image and likeness, and we have dominion over all things. This is the inspired teaching, and it is intended to be taken literally. The ability to draw on this power is not the special prerogative of the mystic or the saint or even of the highly trained practitioner. Everyone has this ability. Whoever you are, wherever you are, the golden key to harmony is in your hands. This is because it is the way, it is God who works through you, not you yourself working. And so your particular limitations or weaknesses are on no account in the process. You are only the channel through which the divine action takes place, and using the golden key will be just the getting yourself out of the way. So that's the macro. So what is the golden key? He says, well, the golden key is very simple. And he says, like all fundamental ideas, it is very simple, and it is this. Stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. Now, don't get hung up on the word God. You can replace that with anything you want to replace it, life or love or whatever. But that's it. He says, this is the complete rule. Stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. If you only will do this, the trouble or whatever it is that you're going through will disappear. It makes no difference what kind of trouble it is. It may be a big thing or a little thing. It may concern health, finances, a lawsuit, a quarrel, an accident, or anything else conceivable. But whatever it is, stop thinking about it and think about God instead. That's all you have to do. And then he has a couple caveats. He says, first, the rule is to think about God. If you are thinking about your difficulty, you're not thinking about God. The reverse of that is true, of course, right? If you're thinking about God, you're not thinking about your limitation. To be continually glancing over your shoulder in order to see how matters are progressing is fatal, because it is thinking of the trouble, and instead you must think of God and nothing else. Your object is to drive the thought of the difficulty out of your consciousness for a few moments at least, substituting for it the thought of God. This is the crux of the whole thing. And he says, don't try to think in advance what the solution of your difficulty may be. This is called outlining, and it will only delay your demonstration. Leave the question of ways and means to God. Lift your voice, your thought to God. Now, what this doesn't mean and what he doesn't mean to say is that you can just say, oh, I'm going to think about God, and now I don't have to do anything else. So if you are owing money, back pay for rent, for instance, and you can't use this as an excuse to say, I'm not going to think about the rent that I owe, I'm only going to think beautiful thoughts about God, and I don't have any responsibility in the matter. That's not what it is. What he's saying is kind of the opposite. He's saying, if you, as a person, don't know how that's going to be paid, lift your consciousness, lift your thoughts to God, so that you are getting out of the problem and into a area of a realm of all possibilities, so that life can now move through you, not around you and not in spite of you, but through you to solve the problem. So when we begin to enact the golden key, when we begin to lift our consciousness out of the problem and into the realm of all possibilities, now what we're doing is we're inviting life to come to us in ways that we on our own cannot think by ourselves. And when we do that, the moment we invoke this, pay attention, because that's when life will start to show up to you, in front of you, in many different ways, in the form of people, in the form of solutions, in the form of songs on the radio, in the form of mail that you get unexpectedly, in the form of many different ways. Everything from the moment that you utter the golden key on is part of the solution to the thing that you want to be resolved. Now, that's a beautiful thing, but the question is, how do you actually use it? Because this is so amazing. If we have to lift our thought out of the realm of problem to the realm of possibility, how do we actually do it? And of course, we're very practical at this center and in this teaching. And so I'm going to give you three very practical ways to do it, and we're going to do them together very quickly. Okay? The first of the, and they all begin with M, the three M's. So they're easy to memorize. The first one is memorization. Memorization. Yes, memorization. What that means is to take a phrase or a thought or a verse or something from Rumi or a lyric of a song and then memorize it so that it is available. Why is this important? I'll tell you why. I'm going to read to you just a paragraph from a book that I wrote a number of years ago called A Little Daily Wisdom, which is a collection of positive Bible verses. And in the book, I recount a time when I was working in San Francisco for a corporation, and it says, I was in a very unsettled place. The corporation that owned our company was in the midst of several rounds of layoffs. In less than 2 years, we had gone from a staff of over 200 people to 40 people. Morale was low, and each day, every staff member would wonder if this was the day that they would get laid off. I clearly remember one morning as I was getting on the bus going to my job, feeling depressed and scared. Anybody have ever felt depressed and scared? Only about half of you. Good. Okay. A thought suddenly came to my mind. All things work together for good to those who love God. Just popped up in my mind. It was a verse I had memorized years earlier, and I hadn't thought about it since. And yet, here it was, right when I needed those very words. I immediately felt better. I gained strength, and it changed the way that I viewed the situation. I came to realize that memorizing inspirational words was like taking spiritual vitamins. Vitamins are supplements we take in order to improve our health and give us more well-being. We don't usually see results of the vitamins on the very first day we take them, and their positive effects may be subtle, occurring over a long period of time. Likewise, memorizing inspirational words are like spiritual vitamins. They may or may not profoundly affect our lives the day we memorize the verse, but like good vitamins, they stay in our system, providing nutrients and help as we need it. And no matter what happens in our lives, these verses will provide comfort, strength, and joy. You can use anything to memorize so that it will be in you. And when it is in you, like a vitamin, it is there to positively change you, like that verse did for me. And you can use anything. Here's just a couple examples. There are no obstacles here. That's from the Course in Miracles. That's one of my favorite lines in A Course in Miracles. There are no obstacles here. I've used that as something that I say a lot when I find myself in situations and I think, there is no solution here. There's no solution. I cannot think of a solution. And it's like, that's the point. I, of myself, cannot think of a solution. But life tells me there are no obstacles here. Thank you, God, for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. We know that. We sing a song that has those words in it here. And then another Bible verse that I like too, which is, with God, all things are possible. That is so empowering when we often feel unempowered. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say that last one three times together. Ready? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now that is inside you. And you may be in a situation at this very moment where you needed to remember that, or you may come up with one soon, or years from now, but now that is inside you, and you can use it, and it will be there for you. That is a golden key, a form of the golden key. It lifts us up, and it reminds us, right, I don't have to stay at the lower level. The second M is mantra. Mantra, and we, most of us know what mantra means. It just means taking a word or a phrase and repeating it over and over again. And we do that as a form of spiritual practice. And again, using a mantra lifts our consciousness up so that we move out of the realm of the problem. All religions, in some form or another, have used mantras of some type. For instance, even if you look at prayer beads in different religions, that's a form of using a mantra, and it's meant to move us out of our egoic mind and into a divine mind state. I just read a book where a man was talking about the fact that one of his best friends had just died, and so he went to, the family had a wake for this person, and he went to the wake. He himself described himself as an atheist, so it was weird for him to go to a wake, and they were Catholic, and at one point during the wake, they decided to do the Hail Marys, 50 Hail Marys in groups of 10 each, and each of those 10s were divided by the Our Father prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and when it started, he felt very uncomfortable. He was writing in this book about this. It was like, this is not for me, this is not my thing, I don't even believe in this stuff. But out of respect for the family, he decided he would just do it and become part of it. And he wrote in the book that by the end of it, he felt completely changed. Not that he believed the actual words he was saying, but that it took him out of the place of, this is so awful, this is the worst thing, to a sense of peace and community with this, with the people around him. That's what the golden key means. Move up, out, and we can use any method that we want to do it. Now, there are lots of mantras that you can use. You don't have to use any particular one. It's whatever mantra speaks to you. So for instance, you can just use words like peace and repeat it over and over again, or the word love, or one I like is, I am one with the one. Now, we can use it in a meditative form, or you can use it as you are walking down the street, or you can use it anywhere you want at any time, and it becomes a golden key. It keeps our mind focused on the highest. Now, in the Buddhist tradition, in the Theravada Buddhist tradition, one of the schools of thought within that, they have a mantra that some of you may have heard of called Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. How many of you have heard of that? A lot of you have, good. Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. I looked up online what it means, and one website said that Nam-myoho Renge Kyo means literally devote one's life moment by moment to the law of simultaneous cause and effect, which is found in the Lotus Sutra. I'm not going to explain what that is. But I did go to a Dharma talk by a Buddhist monk once, and he was talking about this, and what he said was that a way you can think about this is that it also can be translated in a very simple way, which is to think of yourself being in harmony with life. So when you're in harmony with life, the fruits of your harmony means that every area of your life is harmonious. And as he was talking about that, I had this thought that came up in my mind, which is, I'm not Buddhist, so I'm not claiming this is a kosher Buddhist statement, But I had the idea of I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. So then we can use it as a mantra. Now we're going to do this. We're going to take a minute or two out, and we're actually going to chant this mantra. So I don't have a great singing voice. I don't have as beautiful a voice, but I'm going to do the best I can. And it sounds better when people who have better voices than I do it. But Nam-myoho goes a little bit like this. Nam-myoho renge kyo, Nam-myoho renge kyo. Do it together with me. Nam-myoho renge kyo, Nam-myoho renge kyo. Stop. All right. Now we can actually do, I put this, I am in rhythm, in that same cadence. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. Now, here's a fun thing to do. You guys are going to be the Nam-myoho's, and you guys are going to be the rhythm of lifers. And you guys can choose, all right? So we're going to start and do a couple lines of this. Then you guys are going to come in with yours, all right? And then when I hold up my hand over here, that means you guys stop, and then you guys will finish with your round, okay? Ready? Nam-myoho renge kyo, Nam-myoho renge kyo. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life.
Nam-myoho renge kyo, Nam-myoho renge kyo.
I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. Perfect. Doesn't that feel good? I know it's a little hard to do singing in front of everybody and all that, but it feels so good. And it lifts to say over and over again, I am in rhythm with the rhythm of life. What does that do? It puts us in rhythm with the rhythm of life. So simple, so profound. Imagine how your day would be different if you started every day just thinking it or singing it or however you want to do it. For just 5 minutes. Imagine how lifting yourself up at the start of each day just by doing that, how different your life would be. So that's mantra, okay? That's a form of golden key. Now, there's the third M, and the third M is another Buddhist word called metta. How many of you have heard of metta? All right? So I'm, again, not a Buddhist scholar, but metta essentially means the wishing of unconditional love on all beings. That's a practice in Buddhism. It's a practice in Buddhism. And if memorization and mantra kind of are for us to lift our consciousness up, metta is a way for us to now give that out into the world. What could be a better golden key than to give the thing that you actually want to receive in life, to give it out? To give it out. And metta, again, you don't have to be chanting Buddhist chants to do metta. You can do it in very simple ways. So let me give you an example of using this, like the golden key, in action. A few years ago, I was having a situation at work that I couldn't solve, and I was feeling anxiety from it. And I left work, and I was going home from the train station. I took the path to Hoboken Station. And I was at Hoboken Station, and I was feeling very agitated. I was upset by this thing, because I couldn't figure it out, and it was really intense, and there was things going on, and I just thought, oh my gosh, how is this going to get solved? I was at the level of the problem. Now, Emmett Fox says in the Golden Key, not Emmett Smith, but Emmett Fox says in the Golden Key, lift your thoughts up to God. And I had this moment where I thought, oh, wow, look at all these people all around me. Not one of them knows the trouble that I'm seeing in my life. They all seem like they're just kind of going on with their life, and I'm having this thing, and I was like, oh, right, okay, get into this thing. And I remembered something that my first teacher in a church like this in Denver, Colorado said. She said, when we begin to do some form of offering blessings to other people, she said, it's a little bit like pouring honey out of a jar. They get all the honey, but there's still honey in the jar for you. You're going to get what it is that you're giving out to someone else. And I loved that image. I mean, I love honey, so you know, that's a big part of it, but I love that image of it. So at that moment, I was agitated. I thought, let me switch. Let me get into a different mode here. And I got myself higher, like the Golden Key says. And then I found a place in Hoboken Station. They have those stairs right in the station where I could just kind of watch. There's all the trains and all the people, and it was busy and all this activity. And I just came up with this phrase, and I think it was something like, everything good for you. Because that's what I was trying to impart. Everything good for you. And I just started looking at people, and I just started saying it to them in my head. Everything good for you. Everything good for you. Just a moment. It just took me 1 moment, 2 seconds on each person to say that in my head. And I started doing it, and I intended to do it just for like a minute or two. And about 15 minutes went by, and I had prayed or dropped this honey on hundreds and hundreds of people. And you know, it's not that they were looking at me. I didn't wait for them to give me the eye thing. It's like, not that. This was just, they were walking, and I was just dropping it. Well, I'll tell you, by the time I was done doing that, and I had to get on the train, I could have floated home. I was so high. And by the time I got home, I had thought of something that in the end solved the problem that I was feeling so anxious about. Now, you can read business books that say what you should do is you should outline the problem, you know, do a pros and cons, maybe make a mind map, do this and that, ask experts, etc. What I did instead to solve this business problem was I used the Golden Key, a spiritual practice that was so simple, no one knew I was doing it. It's not like I had any outward change, but I had inward change. I was lifted on high. That's the Golden Key. That's the ultimate life hack. At all times in your life, throughout the day, when you find your consciousness in any way dipping down, even if it's just a complaint, even if it's just something that is annoying to you, or even if it's something huge, use one of these methods, memorization, mantra, metta, or anything else that you want to come up with on your own, to lift yourself up, to change literally the way you think about life. It ultimately could not be more important. What could be more important? Nothing. I mean, this is the most important thing we can do. It's a way of changing our being, our experience of life itself. So what we're going to do in closing is I want us to do this metta to each other. So think of something beautiful. I used everything good for you. You can use that, or you can use something else. And silently, we're just going to turn around, and I want you to pour out the honey on every person in this room. Won't take very long. It's very short. It just takes a couple seconds per person. And you don't, again, have to wait for eye contact. You can do it right to the back of their heads or the top of their heads if that's what you see. But let's just do it in silence. And when we're done, I'll ring the bell and we'll come back into the room, all right? And you can stand up or you can stay seated. There's no rules. Let's stay for just one more moment in this beautiful meta space. It feels so good to give love like that. It feels so good to wish everyone well. So let's just pray right now and know that as we think about life, we are open to all possibilities, and anything that helps us to lift our mind to the mind of the divine, the golden key, we now accept, and we begin to use and put into practice these practices to memorize inspiring words or phrases, to use words and phrases as mantras over and over again, to be in rhythm with the rhythm of life, and to wish it all, not only for ourselves, but for all beings. This is the highest form of spiritual practice, because what it does is it takes us out of anything that is small and moves it into the larger, into the infinite itself. Life is infinite, and we are one with life. We are one with the one of life itself. So now we know that, not only for ourselves, but right now we feel it and know it for all who are here and all who are watching, that this is life speaking to us as a way of expanding us, of urging us forward, and of bringing us to an even greater realization. Right now we choose to awaken even more than before. We're so thankful for this. We give our gratitude for this realization for ourselves and for everyone here. And this becomes now our own prayer that we release into love, we release into law, and we know that even as I say these words, it is true for all of us right here and right now. And together we say, and so it is.